Yes, hello and welcome once again to the Power Play Point podcast. I'm your host, Lucky Jackson. I'm kidding. Feels like my name should be that, though. Kind of a Vegas theme show, all things considered. This course is Blue Liner on Point. And got a lot of information to pass on to you, a lot of stuff going down the last week and a half. Going to be in a bit of a condensed format. Can't go through every detail, every last detail with a fine-tooth comb. Going to try to cover some of the major issues I think we need to talk about. But before we get to anything else, real quick, I have an email from Stan in Brandywine. And, gets right to it. Asks the musical question. Do you think the Caps should go after Steven Stamkos? Well, you want the long answer or the short answer? I'll give you the short answer first, and that answer is no. And I'll explain that with the long answer. May I remind everyone, including you, sir, that which I'm sure you know, this is a Washington Capitals podcast. And as such, the reason I haven't mentioned one Steven Stamkos as yet is because he would fit in the plans of this team. He would fit into the schematics of our Washington Capitals like a fully inflated basketball would successfully fit into an empty bottle of ginger ale. So there you have it. That is why I don't think we should be going after Steven Stamkos. Yes, he is a number one center. Yes, he's a pure goal scorer. Well, we already have one. His name is Alex Ovechkin. We're already paying multiple millions of dollars to said goal scorer. Honestly, what is he going to do that people on this team aren't already doing? I mean, yes, our offense is going to be that much better. Yes, but let it be known. I think it's been said 1,000 times. Defense wins championships, and we were severely lacking in that. So, if we're going to pay multiple figure millions for a high caliber player, let it be a quality number one defenseman, a proven shutdown defenseman, a playoff caliber shutdown defenseman, who can not only move the puck, but cover his end. And not be a liability. And I don't think that would be as much of a gamble if we spent our money on that. But Steven Stamkos, no. So, there you have it. That's my answer to that. Washington Capitals have no business getting involved in the Steven Stamkos sweepstakes. To my knowledge, they haven't, nor will they, and that's the way it should be. And I think General Manager Brian McClellan would be wise to stay his course as far as that goes. Speaking of gambling in Vegas, no doubt everybody's heard, I think we've already talked about this, in fact, but it is now official. The Las Vegas Ownership Group has been awarded an expansion franchise to begin play in 2017-2018. And as I'm sure a lot of you have heard, this is going to have ramifications for, well, all of the other 30 current member clubs because of the revised expansion draft rules. I really don't understand why the league is so vested in this new team being a success so soon. There have been expansion teams that have foundered for years without turning a winning season. Yes, they tanked at the gate, but once they became successes, they took root and they developed that loyal fan base and no problems ever since. I mean, we're the Coyotes are still where they are, for crying out loud, right? They have a loyal fan base, despite that team's failings. So I don't understand the need to have this team succeed right off the get-go. As I understood it, this guy Foley and his partners, the Maloof people, I mean, Maloof family, I'm pretty sure they were required to pay the $500 million expansion fee up front. I'm pretty sure they were required to cough all that up front. So everybody who stood to profit from this deal has profited. The money's just about in their pocket. This team doesn't have to hang around for years and years, you know, and hope they get a good deal. Hope that, you know, it's in the cards that, you know, they win and take root with a loyal fan base. The member clubs, they have their money. You know, Gary Bettman is counting his dollars and is on his way to the tailor to get some new suits. I don't understand the rush to have this team be a success, but I guess they want to make absolutely certain there's no repeat of what had been going on with the Phoenix/Arizona Coyotes. Well, we'll see. You know, and one thing I really want to go over, I think there's the population base can afford it, but it's kind of like the problem that Anaheim has. You're gonna go down there, and do you want to hit the craps tables? Do you want to see a show, or do you want to see a hockey game? Those are going to be your choices. In Anaheim, it's the same thing. Do you want to do California Adventure? Do you want to do Disneyland, or do you want to see the Ducks play? You know, I don't know. Might be a little too much, a little too big of a buffet. But I don't have any doubt they're going to have develop eventually a loyal fan base, and they're certainly going to profit from visitors. Now, this is more of an incentive for anybody heading out west to stop over, catch a game or two there, catch their home, you know, their main team playing out there. And you know, jersey sales are going to go through the roof. Whatever this team's jersey is going to look like, they're going to dine out on that for the first 1 or 2 years. But if I don't know what they're going to look like. I don't know how it's going to be if they don't break out after, say, the third year. You know, they don't start to improve after that. With all this, the league is throwing at it. People are going to, you know, the articles, you know, the Canadians are going to start another revolt saying, how come there's this team in the desert again? How come there's this team in the southwestern United States when we've got fans up here that are crying for a team? Blah, blah, blah. There's going to be that talk again if this team doesn't start to do well after, say, the second or third year. So watch for that. But I think they'll do okay. I don't think they'll, you know, be gangbusters. I think, and that's kind of the way it should be. They should struggle at first, and they should kind of earn it. They should pay their dues, and then, you know, several years down the road, make some good deals, you know, roll the dice on some trades, things like that. Make some good picks, and build and win that way. And I think that's the way it should be, and hopefully it will be. I don't wish this team any ill will. I just hope that it's worth it. And right now, it's, you know, you ask the accountants of all 30 owners, yes, it is worth it. But enough about that. On to something else that's a bit less worthy to talk about, and that's the award shows, or the awards. Briefly, going to mention, well, the obvious. Braden Holtby wins the Vezina Trophy as the league's best goalie, as voted on by the 30 general managers. And Barry Trotz wins the Jack Adams Award as the NHL's best coach, as voted by the NHL Broadcasters Association. So you had hockey people and direct hockey observers. I don't count the PHWA, not anymore, not after that travesty during the playoffs, giving individual awards. Now, you may notice that Trotz and Holtby aren't making a whole lot of. Of course, they're proud of the success. They, you know, it's an honor to win an award. Both of these with historical significance. Not going to get into that too much. Don't worry. Not going to bore you with that. You don't know who George Vezina is by now. That I'll save that for a later show. You don't know who Jack Adams is by now. I'll save that for a later show. But they're two very important hockey people in history. It's an honor to win these type of things, but I think it's a good sign that they're not making much of it personally and out loud in the media as it states their dedication to the bigger prize. I think everybody to a man knows that this team, they are expected to win the Stanley Cup. And it can be a healthy thing that they're putting that much pressure on themselves in that regard. So I think that that's a good thing. So it's, you know, it's kind of like, well, look, this is great. And I'm proud of being a part of a team that helped me win this, but I've got my eye on a bigger prize is the attitude and should remain the attitude. Okay. So on to the draft. All right. Now this is the meat and potatoes of the show because a lot of stuff happened here that we weren't quite expecting. I wasn't expecting anyway. So I kept an eye on Twitter. Particularly on the account of one Isabel Kershutian. And I was watching the draft show on NBCSN. And I kept my eye on Twitter and she's like, this must have been like 20 minutes before the show. Boom, boom, boom. Five, six tweets. General manager Brian McClellan and Mark Bergevin of the Canadiens are huddled in a corner talking. Now they're not talking. Now they're talking. Now they're not talking. And, you know, I wasn't thinking it, but what should have entered my mind was the fact that for the last week or so, these rumors have been flying about one PK Subban, Mr. Pernell Carl Subban possibly being moved from the Canadiens. Now, I didn't think that that would happen. It didn't enter my mind at the time, but you have to wonder, was that part of the conversation? Well, as it turns out, what they were talking about was moving Lars Eller, a third-line center on their depth chart, over to the Capitals for some draft picks. Now, just to recap, what the Capitals gave up for him was a second-round pick next year and a second-round pick the year after that. A little bit of background on Mr. Lars Eller. He's Danish, so right away, I kind of want to go out and get a coffee and something sweet. He was initially drafted by the St. Louis Blues back in 2007 in the first round. This guy is a former first-rounder. Okay. And he was traded by them to the Canadiens with Ian Schultz. Yes, that's Double Nickel's brother. The giraffe on skates. Yes, that's him. That's his brother. In case you were curious. For goalie Yaroslav Halak. And that's it. The two of them were traded with for Halak. Okay, yeah. That deal makes less and less sense the further along we get out of the rear view on that one. So, okay, so he ends up on the Canadiens in 2010, and since then he slowly worked his way up the lineup, and he didn't do much better than the third line, and he's averaged somewhere between, I would say, well, okay, looking at his stat sheet, His first full rookie year, he finished with 17 points. His best season, he finished with 30 points in 46 games. And that was the lockout shortened season, I believe. But he hadn't really done a whole lot better since then. Although he's consistently gotten double digit goals every year since the lockout. So, the book on him is that he's a solid two-way center, but how this is going to affect the Caps might be a little disturbing to some. And in fact, I don't know if I'm sitting too well with it, to be completely honest. Not that I take stock in what the man says, but when this deal was announced, we have a trade. The first words out of Mr. Pierre Maguire's mouth were, this guy is a replacement. It's not an exact quote. This guy's going to be a replacement for Marcus Johansson, who isn't getting it done. Really? I would say Johansson has been getting it done. He was the best, easily the best of the second tier forwards during the playoffs. He had himself a pretty good regular season, if I would say. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th on the team in scoring. Okay, so you stat geeks, this isn't going to, wet your shorts, but he finished a plus 12, 7 game-winning goals. Yeah, he's a little short in the points department, but I don't know. I don't know that Lars Eller is going to completely replace this guy. Well, in any case, jumping ahead a bit, we're going to jump back. We're jumping ahead a bit, though. Those of you who might be worried about Marcus Johansson, he was tendered a qualifying offer. I believe he does qualify for the 5% increase, but he is a restricted free agent, which means, of course, another team can sign him to an offer sheet and we can match or walk away. Or, I don't know. I don't know if he's eligible for this, but there's always the option of arbitration where you go sit down in a crappy restaurant and whoever has the biggest beef, I'm kidding. But no, I don't know if Marcus is actually eligible for arbitration, but here's the thing with Johansson. I don't think this team is done with him yet. I don't think they should be done with him yet. I think he fits very well up and down the line. He has done everything that's been asked for him. I think his game is just now starting to round into form. He's shown a lot better play along the boards, which was his one glaring weakness. Okay. Now his stats may not bear out what he brings to the table, but I'm confident that if he can give you 40 to 60 points a season, then 15 to 20 goals, then he's doing his job and he's not hurting you on the back end. Then he's doing what he's supposed to be doing, because that's what a third line forward is supposed to give you. In fact, 60 points for a third line forward is pretty damn good. And Marcus Johansson has been close to that. He hasn't been over that, hasn't approached it in a while, but he's been close to that in recent years. So I just can't see the Caps walking away from Marcus Johansson just yet. I don't think we should be done with him. I think give him, I would say, maybe, and this is why the expansion draft in 2 years is going to throw a monkey wrench into everything, but you give him a 1 or a 2 year offer and see how things play out and, well, in the playoffs, and go from there. Keeping in mind, of course, that, everything is win now. But, I mean, I have a lot more trust in him than I do Andre Burakovsky, Tom Wilson. I'm sorry. Those guys are young. Those guys are young, yes, but I'm not impressed by them yet. Maybe, just maybe, this year they'll break out a little more, but I'm not, I don't know. I, I don't know. I would much rather give the extra minutes to a Marcus Johansson at this point, because I think he's earned it. Okay, so getting a little drafty in here. Yes, because haven't talked about the first round pick. Now this is kind of strange. The original selection number was 26. And so apparently general manager McClellan was had his eye on somebody. I think it was Riley Tufte, I don't know. One of those guys, and then Dallas grabbed him, and then he's like, "Okay, well, let's trade down a little bit and see what we can get." So he actually wound up with making a deal for the 28th pick, where they chose Lucas Oil Johansson. No relation to Marcus, but relation to Ryan, late of the Columbus Blue Jackets, now with the Nashville Predators. And this one's a winner. This pick is a winner. I would have been happy as, and the big surprise to me was Jacob Chychrun falling all the way down as far as he did. I thought for sure the guy was going to be a top 5, 7, maybe 10 pick. I cannot believe he fell down as low as he did, but I think Ottawa is going to be, he's going to, you know, going to do well in Ottawa. But he's the guy I had my eye on as one of the top defensemen. And I thought for a moment, okay, well, maybe he falls all the way to 26, but he didn't. He got picked up. But Johansson, yeah, this guy's a winner. He is a winner. He is definitely going to be an NHL caliber defenseman one day. I just hope it's with the Caps, and he is the junior team he's on, the Kelowna Rockets. That team cranks out NHL quality defensemen like Orville Redenbacher makes popcorn, like Hershey makes chocolate, like Toyota makes cars, so on and so forth. Throw in any analogy you want. But this guy is definitely a winner. He will definitely play in the NHL one day. And yes, obviously he's got the genes, and that's the one thing I did like to see that. I did like seeing that. There was a lot of, in Johansson's case, keeping it in the family, but a lot of second generation talent that was on display. And you had, I already mentioned, Jacob Chychrun, Alexander Nylander, son of former Cap Michael. Who else was there? Kiefer Bellows, son of another former Cap, Brian Bellows. And yes, the Caps even got into the second generation act, by drafting with their third round pick, Garrett Pilon, son of, former Islanders defenseman, Rich Pilon. Garrett is a kind of a small guy, a two-way center. And, I honestly don't know that Garrett's going to make his way past, probably the top tier minor league level. If he ekes out a minor league career for himself, that's probably, I think he'll probably have to be satisfied with that. I don't know if he's going to ever make it to the big club. He might merit a call up or two, but that's probably going to be his lot in his hockey life. You know, unfortunately, the smaller guys, they tend not to last very long. So I think that'll be his fate, but you know, you have to stock the minor league clubs as well. But I think that's a solid pick for that kind of purpose, if that's what they were looking to do. And overall, I think it was a good draft. The third, the lower tier pick, was a guy by the name of, Damian Riott. He had spent his most recent season in, Malmo. Riott is Swiss by birth. Another smallish forward. Very skilled. And, has a bit of an edge to his game. Penalty minutes are pretty high if you look at his stats, no matter what league he's in. And just kind of glossing over the rest of the picks, fifth rounder was a guy by the name of Beck Malenstein. That's Malenstein from the Calgary Hitmen. Pretty decent size forward, left winger. Had another fifth rounder. This one's going to be hard to say. Swedish kid, 6 foot, but kind of slender. Axel Jonsson Fialby. Hope I didn't butcher it that badly. And this one I got to mention because I love the number pick number 177. Chase Prisky, D-man from Quinnipiac University, 6 foot 190, solid D. Quinnipiac, the Bobcats, making the Frozen Four in 2 out of the last 4 years. Chase, obviously an integral part of that. So, good to see that. And the final pick in the draft for the Capitals, was, Yegor Zaitsev from Balashika of the KHL. Another D-man. Got the height, but not the size as yet. So we'll see how that one plays out. Definitely excited though for Lucas Johansson. A couple of those guys may end up making the jump to the big club eventually, but you know, no hurry. No hurry, obviously. I think just about every one of those names, every one of those guys will benefit and should benefit from staying down in the minors and overriping, as it were, a la the Ken Holland method. So not going to hear anything big from them right away, but I think within 2 or 3 years, definitely Lucas Johansson would not be surprised to see him make the big club or try to make the big club around then. Okay, so I mentioned the restricted free agents and the fact that Marcus Johansson was tendered a qualifying offer. There were, in fact, three others in that status that needed to have at least on the main roster, that needed to have an offer tended to them for the Capitals to retain their negotiating rights. Those being Tom Wilson, Dmitry Orlov, and Michael Latta. Michael Latta, unfortunately, unlike the others, was not tendered a qualifying offer. So that more or less gives him his outright release. He is now free to negotiate with any other club that wants him. And I'm kind of sad to see him go, but unfortunately this probably doesn't come as much of a surprise. He doesn't offer you much in terms of, you know, game-breaking playing ability, but the guy did everything you could have asked him to do. He gave you decent fourth line minutes. I don't think he was too much of a liability. He put up the fisticuffs when he had to, stood up for his teammates. Gave it his all whenever he was on the ice, but I think part of it is, unfortunately he just doesn't have enough of the skill level to keep up. On top of that, we're looking at a numbers game here. Now they got Lars Eller on the club, and sooner or later you're gonna have the younger guys down in Chocolate Town, including one Jacob Vrana and a gentleman by the name of Mr. Nathan Walker, whom I'm hoping makes his debut sometime soon. He was looking at those guys coming up, and unfortunately you had to know his time was growing short. So we wish Michael Latta very well. I never had anything against the guy. Always thought he was a decent guy, decent player. And more famous than anything for being Tom Wilson's roomie. So I wonder what's going to happen on that front. But Yeah, that unfortunately, that I mean, you gotta remember that hockey's a business as well as a sport, and it if anything, it's a numbers game. So, wish him the best of luck. I'm sure at the very least, I can't see a team not needing his services somewhere. I mean, there's a lot of jobs, certainly in North America. I can't see him not being able to land a two-way contract. There's always Europe. There's spots in Europe. Worst come to worst, there's always the KHL as well. So that's that. Now, taking a look at what I think is one of the best resources out there online to take a look at player contracts and statuses and such, that being General Lefanager. We see that, of course, Jason Chimera, looking at the unrestricted free agents now, Jason Chimera is probably the biggest name on our list. Mike Richards, I think we have to get real and think that Mike Richards is not going to re-sign with the Caps. Have to be realistic about that. Mike Weber, I can't see him re-signing, and I've made my thoughts clear on that guy. I mean, he can go, he can play in Hawaii for all I care. Those are the unrestricted free agents. And again, I think Jason Chimera, unfortunately, is probably going to be another victim of the numbers game. He's probably going to go the way of Joel Ward, and he's going to end up signing for whatever term and money he can get. But I can't see him being in the Capitals' immediate plans. I think his spot is going to be made open for one of the kids coming up. See what they've got. Which is a shame because I think he's still got a good set of wheels on him. But I think management is going to look at him as being too old, maybe a little too brittle, not quite enough of a skill set to finish out the year and provide what they need. I don't know if I agree with that. I think he's deserving of another 1 year contract, but so that maybe he can retire a Capital, but I don't know. I think he'll get a 1 or 2 year deal somewhere and then call it a career. So that is the list of unrestricted free agents for the Capitals. And again, the site to go to is General Fanager. And Mr. Bettman, if you're listening, I'm one of those fans you said wouldn't be interested in something like this. And I'm looking right at the website. And I just wish I had the number of hits they had so I could throw it in your face. But putting one eye on the future, especially when you have to realize that in 2017, 2018, we do have that expansion draft coming up, and you can only protect a certain amount of players. I don't know, and a lot of them will not be under contract after this year. So I think that's why Brian McClellan only gave himself a 2 year window, because after this year, he's got some scrambling to do as far as who gets signed and who doesn't. And then he's got to figure out, now on top of all that, he's got to figure out who might get plucked off the list due to expansion, and then go from there. And then a mini rebuild is going to have to be done. So just want you Caps fans listening to be cognizant of that. There's a reason why he gave himself a 2 year window, and now we're in year two. That's why. You look at the list of UFAs and ARFAs, going down the list for 2018, it don't look good. There's a lot of money in term that has to be doled out, and Lord knows what the salary cap's going to look like. It ought to be higher, given the fact that everybody's pockets is now, what is it, $17 million richer or something like that? Thanks to the $500 million expansion fee? Boy. I love hockey, but $500,000 just for the right to own a hockey team? Wow. Another topic, another show. Yeah, I wanted to close with that because I don't want to make things seem ominous, but I just wanted to remind everybody that this coming year is it. They win the cup or they die trying, and the next realistic chance probably is not going to be for at least another year or two after this. Because you've got, like I said, you got a whole bunch of free agents you got to deal with. Both Alex Ovechkin and Nick Backstrom will be past 30 by that point. And like I said, God knows what's going to happen after expansion. But, you know, just can't stress enough the need to keep an eye on the future because of what all's going to happen. And that's why looking at the draft is so important, because those guys are the future. So, all right. So that's going to do it for this edition. And I'm thankful you all hung around to listen. If you're curious, yes, there will be another Easter egg at the end. And haven't worked out the email problem I'm having yet. So if you're interested, please email at blueliner77@gmail.com. That's blueliner77@gmail.com. And working on trying to get another provider, like I said, one of these days, get past that problem, because I'm not too happy with Gmail, to be honest. But in any case, thanks for listening, and we will have another show in 2 weeks about the free agent signings, and then after that, we're going to sign off until training camp. So until then, thanks for listening again. Let's go Caps. Vegas, baby, Vegas. Blackjack, poker, and the roulette wheel. Fortune won and lost on every deal. Well, that's hockey for you. That's the NHL draft for you. Mr. Al Kokin once said, beyond the first five picks, crapshoot. And he wasn't kidding. But man, how about this Brexit thing? Wow, that's proven to be a bad deal. Whoever thought of that ought to rethink things. Phew, British pound taking a tanking. Anyway, this whole thing has become something of a international meme, and I thought I would take it a little beyond that. What am I talking about? Well, for example, there is the distinct possibility that Mr. Donald Trump could be elected president. And he's already made his feelings known about the Hispanic community of these United States of America. So if, in fact, he is elected president, I think you'll see something similar. Call it Mexit. Another example. People not taking responsibility. You're driving along. You hit another car. You don't stop and discuss terms with them. You leave the scene. Well, that's something you should not do. But leaving the scene of an accident doesn't quite roll off the tongue. So what do you have? Rexit. Still another example, the problem of teenage pregnancy. Don't mean to make light of it, but it's been hotly debated that the teaching of abstinence doesn't work. Well, perhaps if you gave it a hip new name, sex it. Tired of that postnasal drip problem you have? Your spray not working for you, and you want to switch? Nasal exit. I mentioned one Mr. Donald Trump before. He seems to cater to a key element of the United States population. Well, it's just as likely that he doesn't win the U.S. presidency. And so that key element might react a certain way. Rednexit. And have you noticed a lot of the talent in the World Wrestling Entertainment have either been relieved of their duties or just decided to find employment elsewhere? Suplex it. And finally, when that idiot in HR who's responsible for giving you one golden ticket of yours every week or so that makes it all worthwhile, but screwed up, and you don't have any, paychecks it.